Every single one of us are born. We're born with sin, and all of us today, whether you believe it or not, or like it or not, or agree or not, have the ability and the capability of to sin again. But I am glad for the grace of Jesus Christ today, who has saved me to the uttermost, and so we can have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says that we're justified by faith, so because we're justified by faith, we have peace with God. Not just a subjective internal sense of calm and serenity. As a Christian, I don't always have that inward, calmward sense of peace and serenity. Do you? There's turmoil sometime down inside of me. But I have this objective reality, this external objective reality that God has declared himself to be at war with every human, but because of man's sinful rebellion, we were at war with God, but because of what Christ did, now I have peace with God. I've been reconciled with God because of, I've been justified. And so I just know that I have peace with God. God has made peace with me because I came to the cross. It takes the cross. Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, they called them whited sepulchers. Men full of hypocrisy and dead man's bones, and he could be quiet because they would clean the outward man, but they never cleaned the inward man. They went through rituals they would wash their hands properly, and they'd go through all these rituals and go through all these things, but inwardly they were dead. They were separated from God, although outwardly they thought they were doing everything right. They was very pious in that, but they needed Jesus Christ, and they rejected the very Savior, the very one that could have given them peace with God. And so I'm glad today that I have been justified. Chapter 5, verse 1 says they're being justified. We have been justified. And the first result of justification is that the sinner's war with God has ended forever. I'm no longer at war with God. You're no longer at war with God. That ended when you got saved, when you were justified. And you can say it like this, it's just as if I've never done it. God reconciled us with himself. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. And let's see what it says. Chapter 1, verse 19 of Colossians says, "For it pleased the Father that him should dwell all fullness, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled." And then it goes on to say in verse 20, "If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, which therefore Paul I am made a minister." So by all him all things were created, and they were created by God, material things, spiritual things, and we all owe our existence to Jesus Christ today. But we were separated from God, and now we've been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. He made peace with God for us at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light, where the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I have peace with God because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of the shed blood of the Lamb of God, church. You understand today? You understand what I'm trying to say here? I hope I'm getting across in the right way. Sometimes I wonder if I'm saved, you know, I don't know if I get in the cross sometimes, but we now have access to God because we've been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. That should be exciting to you still, even after many years of serving Christ. You still should kind of do something within you to think that God saw you as an enemy, but he said, "I have enemies on earth. They've been separated from me by sin, and Satan is in control of the world, but I'm going to do something to reconcile them. I'm going to do something to save them. I'm going to do something to make peace with them. I'm going to sign a peace treaty with them. I'm going to send my son to die, shed his blood on a cross. And I'm through him, with their faith and their believing, I'm going to justify them, save them to the uttermost, and make peace with them." God did that for you. while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He did that to make so we now have access to God. There's no access to God for the fallen creature. That you might say that, but that's not so. There is access to God, and it's possible even for the chief of sinners through our mediator, Jesus Christ. He died for us. So now we have access to God. 1 Corinthians 5:1 again says we have peace of God, peace with God through Jesus Christ, by whom we have access. So we have a legal right now because we've been saved. Before you get saved, that's why some people come to us and say, "Won't you to pray for me?" Well, the first prayer I need to pray with you is that you'll get saved. Because without being saved, you don't have access to God. I have access to God on your behalf, but you don't have access to God if you're a sinner. Come on now. Only access you have is just to go through the blood of Jesus and accept Him as your Savior and Lord. And then you have access to God. Then you can come boldly to the throne of grace. That's why James says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and if they committed sins, they shall be forgiven them." Because to receive their healing, they first have to believe that Jesus is the Savior, and they have to get, I think they, through that faith in the healing process, they gotta get saved. Otherwise, they don't have access. I can pray for them, and God might very likely will heal them, but then if they don't start serving Christ, they may lose their healing. Have you ever seen that before? People get healed, but they wouldn't serve God, and next thing you know, they're sicker than they were. Because God made a way, God saved them, God showed His grace, God showed His mercy, and then they just treaded underfoot, walked away from it, and said, "Oh, it don't make nothing no difference to me." But then they come running back to the church or a Christian and say, "Y'all gotta pray for me." That's why sometimes I look people and I say, "You pray for yourself." Come on now, somewhere along the line, you're gonna have to pray for yourself. First off, you need to get saved. Quit coming running to the church every time you get in trouble and said, "Somebody gotta help me." No, you're gonna need to help yourself. Help yourself to the blood of Jesus. Just one drop will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Just one drop will give you access to God. Just one drop will give you peace with God. Just one drop means you signed the peace treaty with God, and now you have access to God to come boldly to the throne of grace to receive your help. But we kind of want, people want it the easy way. You do my praying, you get me right with God, I'll accept what God gives me, but I'm not going to serve Him. Well, one of these days you're certainly going to accept what God gives you, and you won't be serving Him. You're going to be cast into a place called a lake of fire where there's torment forever. And you're not going to like that, but you're not, we always think people's going to blame God when they're in hell. I think that when they get to hell, they're not going to be blaming God. They're going to be begging God to get them out of that place. And they're going to be confessing their sin. But it's going to be too late. Too late. Man, you need to serve God now. So we have access to God. The Jews didn't have this access that we have, but Jesus told us not to look down on them because of it. We're the grafted ones. They're the original. We've been grafted in. We're blessed, though. I believe we're more blessed than they are. I do. I'm glad for grace, aren't you? And they may suffer some things, but anyway, we have the hope today. So we have peace with God. We have a legal right to approach God, and it's found alone in Jesus Christ. His priesthood gives me the title to draw near to God, unto the throne of grace today. And then it's for through Him, Ephesians 2:18 says, it's for through Him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Each person of the Trinity has their own work to do. And so we have access, they have their own distinctive place in the Trinity and for redemption. And so access is unto the Father through Jesus Christ, but it's by the Spirit. See, the Spirit's job is to draw you, to reveal to you, to show you. And then Jesus' job, once you approach Him, is to save you and give you access to the Father. we don't have access to the Father till the Spirit deals with us. And that's why saved people, unsaved people don't have access to God, because until they accept the dealing of the Spirit begins to deal with them. They can either reject Him or they can accept Him and accept Christ and listen to the wooing of the Spirit. Just a side note today, during our preaching of our service today, we had an ex-Catholic woman in our church, and while we were preaching this morning, she told us that she felt the power of God. And she said, "I've never felt this before in my life." She felt the power of God just hit her in the top of her head and go all through her body during the preaching sermon this morning. Isn't that exciting? How many of y'all felt that? Now, don't lie to me. This little Catholic lady felt that, ex-Catholic lady felt that, and she said, "I learned something new from about the sword of the Spirit today." And she was thankful that she had came to this little Pentecostal church this morning, learned something new, felt the presence of God that she'd never felt before in her life. Isn't that exciting? But see, that why was it? Because she's a born-again Christian, and she made herself available. The Holy Spirit dealt with her, and she received it. I didn't know I did appreciate it. She took pictures of me while I preached this morning. I wished I'd known she's going to. I'd fixed up a little better. But I'd wore a suit and tie if I'd known that. Anyway, it's a side note. That's nothing to do with this. But isn't that exciting, though, that God, through the Spirit, deals with us? And His Spirit moves in our lives. Last Sunday morning, the Spirit of God came down during the service, and we had a good service. We'd had no preaching. And, one of those, how we used to go home, it's like, "Well, we had a good service today. We didn't have no preaching." We had one of them last Sunday morning. The Spirit of God came down and just started ministering to people, and people started being blessed, and needs were met through the move of the Spirit of God. But it's through Him, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace, that Ephesians 2:18 is, "For through Him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father." And so they have their own distinctive portions and the different gracious operations, but we can't be indifferent to the conduct of the Holy Spirit in our church. And I'm afraid that sometimes us Pentecostals, we've had the Spirit of God moving so long that we've become complacent and indifferent to the move of the Spirit that we don't even really notice it when He tries to move anymore, and we won't move in with Him when He tries to move in our services. So oftentimes it takes almost a bolt of lightning to get us to move. We kind of sit back and just kind of complacent about what we're doing and what we're seeing, and we don't realize that God showed up for that particular reason through the Holy Spirit to do something supernatural possibly in your life. But yet when you don't move in, you miss out on what God, it might have just been a supernatural encouragement I remember the times in the years past, of course, but we can't live in the past. I understand that, but I believe the same God that moved in the past, still the same God's going to move today and in the future. And so we have a move of God in our service. We ought to at least lift our hands and open our hearts, our spiritual eyes to what God, how do you want to minister to me today as I minister to you with my voice and praise you. And then when He begins to move, just let Him move on you. I don't mean you're going to run the aisle and some of you think, "Well, if I get out in the aisle and do something, people will think I'm foolish or I'm a nut." Well, so we think that about some of you anyway, so just go ahead and do it. And I'm not going to tell you which ones that's what we're thinking, but don't even ask. don't come ask me, because you'll make a liar out of me. No, I'm just kidding, but you understand what I'm saying. We need to move. We have access to the Father through the Spirit, so when the Spirit tries to move in us as Christians and show us that we're secure in Him and that we have hope to the glory of God and there's no uncertainty to that, we need to just worship the Lord and let the Spirit of God move in and through us so that He might bless us, because oftentimes you come to church wanting a blessing, don't you? I mean, many people, "Oh, God, pray for me, I'll get a blessing of God." Well, if you begin to worship God, I mean, worship Him, really worship Him in spirit and in truth. Don't come for the blessing, but come to bless God and praise God. I'm going to guarantee if you'll do that, open up your heart and your mind to Him, He will bless you. You may not get that real top of the head through your body sort of jolting, but you'll feel something down deep in your spirit that will begin to bless you and encourage you and let you know that God has not forgotten you. Because sometimes we get the feeling that way, don't we? God has forgotten me. but he hasn't. So there's times we feel that way because we have withdrawn from him. We pull back instead of push in and move forward. We pull back, and so when we begin to pull back, we begin to feel alienated and isolated. You know, when we got to push in, especially when a church service, the Lord's moving. I can sit in my office, feel the presence of the Lord. And it's not because I'm in that office, it's because I get my mind on him. I can listen to just some CD and get the presence of the Lord. But it's different than being in here in a service where God's moving upon everybody and giving open access to everyone to a move of his Spirit. But we got to do it. But we have access with God through the Holy Spirit. And he does that for us. So, and we've been justified by faith. So because of that, we have peace with God. I'm glad for that peace, aren't you? And that hope of glory that we have. And so by faith we have this, appointed means of access to God is through our faith today. And I'm glad for faith today. I'm glad God, through my faith, grants me an audience with him. I need an audience with him every now and again. I just need to feel his touch and know he still loves me, and that I can approach him, approach the throne of grace boldly to receive my help. I'm just so thankful for that. But to stay right with God, I've got to be sorrowful for my sins, show penitence. I just don't go out here and grossly sin. I don't think most of you do. I hope you don't. I don't think you do. I'm not aware of it if you do. No one's told on you yet. Someone might if they find you out, but there are things that maybe we think or would do, and thoughts or little actions or deeds or being cross with somebody or not having a soft answer but a gruff answer, or things we need to repent of now and then. I repent daily, and that don't mean I'm backslid or going to hell. It just means I want to stay in tune with and have access with God. I don't want anything to separate me from him or let these things build up. It's sort of like, this is kind of sound gross to you, but several years back, the Loves in Tecumseh, you know, the canopy out there. Y'all know the canopy you drive under to get your gas. Well, pigeons used to roost up there. Y'all knew that, didn't you? They may still try. But one day, there was so much stuff built up there. You know what I'm talking about. That they had to hire somebody professional to come in there and get it out. Try to do something to keep the peace. So that's sort of like our sin. If you're not careful, these little sins, it's not something that's going to send you to hell in and of itself if you'll just repent of it and move on. But you just keep letting it build up, and build up, and build up, and build up, and build. Pretty soon it's a lot of stuff, and it's separated you from God. And God may still have access to him in a sense. Spirit of God's still moving in your life, but you are embarrassed. You don't feel worthy. You don't feel like you ought to. You know, the devil starts working on your mind. You don't have the right. You know, because you've been doing all this stuff. You've been thinking these things. You've been acting this way. Well, why don't you just let the professional come in and take one drop of his blood and cleanse you from all that unrighteousness and set you back right with God. You understand? I mean, just repent daily. Clean it up daily. And I don't think you're just going out there and grossly sinning. Not saying that. But sometimes we let little things build up. Little things we do or say. Don't do that. We have access with God. And so we want to be right with God. And I want to be conscious of my access to him. I need the aid of the Spirit. It's very imperative that I have the aid of the Holy Spirit in my life. I love the Holy Ghost, don't you? I like the Holy Ghost in my life. But he'll not work within our lives if we grieve him. You can grieve the Spirit. Some of the actions and things and deeds you do or say and think, you can grieve him. He's trying to lead you, but sometimes we grieve him and he says, okay, you're on your own now. I'll see you when you come to your senses. But you understand what I'm saying? You can grieve him sometimes. So don't grieve him. We want access with God. And so we must confess our sins and determine there will be remediation for them through Jesus Christ. So it's very simple. Just repeat. I repeat every day. Every day. I said, Lord, forgive me. Something I said, something I did. I probably ought to ask my wife the same thing every day. Just forgive me. Won't we just put that on the bathroom mirror? Willene, forgive me. Every time you look in the mirror, I got to forgive him again. I don't know why he did this time, but I got to forgive him. don't write out your prayer and hang it up somewhere. So, well, Lord, read it. There it is. You know, pray, seek God, ask him to forgive you. James 4:8, and I'll close with this. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Aren't you glad for the hope that lies within you today? That hope is Jesus. I'm glad for the blood of Christ. Glad for salvation today. He's been good to me. Amen. Has he been good to you? Amen. He's been good to all of us. And he's no respecter of persons. So if he'll be good to me, he'll be good to you. If he'll meet my needs, he'll meet your needs. But we just approach the throne, ask him for your help. Well, would you stand with me?